Okay.
All right, Mark.
This is our second recording of the podcast.
It's not too bad.
But we're only like a minute in.
We were about a minute, yeah.
We were just whinging about being tired. No more whinging. This is the energetic.
This is the energetic one.
2 cents. And I was gets distracted. A rugby podcast.
I mentioned I looked pathetic with my little espresso glass. It's just because I'm just getting a little pick-me-up after we went for a run.
We did go for a run.
The longest run you've ever been on.
Literally the longest run I've ever been on. We ran for 10 kilometers.
That's over.
And
you did good. You did real good.
You guys probably don't care about that, but it
well,
was
well, no, I'm sure some people would be like, oh, good on you, Mark. Getting out there and having a bit
cheers,
of a run,
people.
Run.
There's a couple of people who were like, g'day. And I was like, hey.
Well, when you were out.
Yeah, when we were running.
Oh, yeah, some people.
Give you the nod. Hey, g'day. Yeah. Well, one guy gave me like a smiling nod over his shoulder because he could hear me coming. Old dude. Right when we were almost finished. We were running along the waterfront, that couple.
Yeah,
the guy gave me a look. It was a bit of a laugh, almost a bit too amused. Like, geez, sucks to be you kind of thing.
It's funny watching a 7 foot. Because you were in your 10th K then.
Yeah.
And you were...
I was a bit
struggling a little bit.
Yeah, I was tired.
Yeah. Was it nice to have a bit of solitude on the last K, just you and your footsteps rather than me going, come on, mate.
And that guy going, yeah.
But you did it, Mark. You got through it. Just checking that this... You know what puzzles me about this? So, as some people may know, I am on the non-alcoholic beers, right?
You're getting towards the end of that.
Yeah. Only two.
We didn't even get to drink on the first recording. Yeah, that's how early we cut off.
Yeah. So, yours say... With the same brand, you'll say, enjoy in moderation, right? On the can?
Yeah, you'll say, have as many as you fucking like.
No, mine is a non-alcoholic beer, but it also says, enjoy in moderation.
Well, just the graphic designer couldn't be bothered.
Yeah, exactly.
Copy and paste.
Exactly. There's no care, no love. All right, we have to keep an eye. It's pretty obvious when that thing puts
out. It makes a big boop.
And then the whole frame changes.
Yes.
But yeah, Mark, we went for a run. You did really well. Longest run ever. Your pace was pretty good. Like it wasn't, we weren't like glacial. It was faster than the last run we did.
Yeah.
It was good.
It wasn't embarrassing that like I saw someone walking and had to up the pace just to pass them.
There was one moment where I passed this old elderly woman and then I wanted to like talk to you, but she was between us for way too long. So I like had to like, and then I was like, if I stop, then she will take, to stop for you, she'll take over me again.
Yeah, you have to repass her.
So I was like, no, I'll just...
Keep going, hold it.
He'll get there, he'll pass her eventually.
Yeah, I'm sure I did.
You did, you absolutely did. You got there.
Good for me.
Yeah, we didn't have any sort of, I was almost brutally attacked by a canine at one stage.
That's right.
Very exciting.
That was the good thing about you running in front. You're like the guinea pig.
Take the dog, actually.
There's a lot of dogs out your way, actually.
Yeah, there are. I don't mind the dogs.
No, the dogs are pretty nice.
Yeah. Even the ones, that one was, she was just over eager, wanted to say hi.
It's a real bitch.
Yeah, she was a real bitch. Then we saw that other dog at the top of the staircase bit. And I made an inappropriate joke. We can't laugh at it because I can't tell it. You can't, it's not that funny.
It was pretty funny.
No, but I can't tell it.
Okay. Sorry, folks. Send me a DM if you want to know what Tony's doing. It probably wasn't that funny. If you go to the effort of asking me what the joke was and I tell you, it won't be that funny.
You'll probably be there. You're like, oh, yeah. Okay.
It's like when your mate tells you a story about, like, oh, my mate John at this party. He did this thing.
You know what I always get terrified of is when somebody says, Tony, you'll love this. And then I feel pressure. I'm like, oh, God.
You've got to act.
I've got to love this. Or, I really hate it when you recommend a film to someone. You're like, oh, it's amazing.
Right.
Yeah, like Hot Shots 1. Yeah, that's Hot Shots 2. It's better than Hot Shots 1. You'll love it. It's the funniest thing you'll ever see. And then you watch it with them and you're like,
yeah.
Oh, no, they're not laughing.
Yeah.
Oh, this isn't funny.
Yeah.
Why did I ever like this?
Sometimes you have that effect if you watch a movie in the cinema and then you've got the crowd around you. Like, I remember going to see Castaway with Tom Hanks where he gets stuck on the island.
It's a
great film. But I went to it with my mate from high school who laughed at very inappropriate things.
Oh.
Like Pain and Suffering causes that guy to lose his shit. So he would laugh and then it got infectious. So eventually the whole movie theater started laughing along with my mate, whether they were laughing at Tom or laughing at my mate, but it was, it became funny. And then when I watched it with other people, I was like, oh,
really?
That's kind of a different vibe.
I reckon there is humor in it. Like the whole there
are funny bits, but there are bits that are like dramatic and heartbreaking. Like he was laughing at the heartbreaking stuff.
Mm. Like when he loses. Like
when he would hurt himself or...
When Helen Hunt and him reunite, but he's got to let go and they...
Yeah, I don't know that he laughed at that bit, but yeah, he laughed at a lot of inappropriate stuff.
Right. Okay.
Interesting dude.
Inappropriate laughter.
Yeah.
Anyway, how was the rest of your week? Just quickly before we launch into all this blooming rugby.
I watched heaps of rugby.
Okay. You watched more rugby than I did, I'd say.
Well, that's most
Did you
weeks.
Watch every single... Obviously, you watched every single...
I watched all the Six Nations games. I missed a bit of the Chiefs and Drua because my parents came over with my nephew and niece and we had to take them out for dinner.
Okay.
So I missed part of that. Well, dude, watch it with Gazza on the phone at McDonald's. I got on the McDonald's Wi-Fi and me and Gazza were sitting there on the phone.
Right.
Watching some
But
some
other than
rugby.
That, you watched every other game.
I also missed the second half of the Waratahs and the Force because I went to bed because I wanted to get up for the Six Nations at like 3 in the morning.
My favourite game of the weekend was Kane versus Moana Harbour. Or North Pacifica.
Mm.
What do you want to go with? That's one of my big thing is that
I picked that as the game of the week. Like I've one of my patrons said, like, you should do, like, I don't have time to watch all the games. Just tell me the game of the week when you do your wrap up and I'll watch that one. I was like, I've started doing game of the week. That was my pick for game of the week.
It was fantastic.
I thought it was great.
What do we call them? Do we call them North Pacifica or Moana Harbour? They're both pretty good.
Doesn't Moana mean sea?
Yeah, and harbour means sea too.
Kind of. Moana harbour.
Well, harbour means it like an inlet of sea.
Yeah. North Moana.
Yeah, North Moana.
Yeah.
North Moana. I like quite North.
Maybe just North Harbour. How about that? That's a good one.
Originally, it was meant to be a North Harbour franchise back in the day, but the Waikato Chiefs gave up a ship. It was meant to be the North Harbour Chiefs back in the day when it first started at Super 10.
I remember it was North Harbour and the Chiefs were
which made
were together
no sense
because they didn't want to put Auckland with Harbour.
Yeah.
Because there were too many strong players in both those
would
regions.
Have been, it would have been
a super team.
Would have been like
like a super rugby team.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Would have been like the All Black.
Yeah.
One of the All Black teams. Yeah, because we had that. The 90s Harbour teams had so many All Blacks.
And back in those days, they actually did the whole catchment areas that you had to play for your local area. Like, that's gone out the window a long time ago.
Like, Christian Cullen. When he was playing for the All Blacks, he used to play for, it wasn't Manawatu, like it was the second division team. And that was just his team that he played for an NPC time.
That's it.
You just wouldn't see him.
That doesn't happen anymore.
No, not at all.
Professionalism, you suck.
Professionalism. All right, Mark. Well, look, should we get into Tweeddale and get into some rugby?
This is our final week of Tweeddale.
With the fine people at Tweeddale. Okay, so I don't start there.
You basically go with this part.
So why do I even have... What? Just didn't want to reprint it.
There you go.
All right, well, thanks to the big, our fantastic sponsors, Tweeddale. We've really appreciated it.
4-week sponsors. What a commitment to the
Deluxe
cause.
Deluxe package for them. Anyway, today's sponsor. How am I going to make this fresh? This is the fourth time I've read this.
Maybe you should just give it some pizzazz.
Should I read it without... Should I do it in the voice of Hateful Heath?
There you go.
Tonight's sponsor is those fuckwits. Hateful Heath swears that it's very negative about everything.
Yeah.
Okay, he can't do it.
He could.
Nobody's watched that video, so nobody gets the joke. There's a link to Hateful Heath if anyone wants to see it. Okay, today's sponsor is Tweeddale Servicing Contractors, based in Tauranga, New Zealand. The guys at Tweeddale Servicing Contracts surface the Western Bay of Plenty. Yeehaw! Like, you got it this time?
Oh, what was the joke?
Are you serious? We went through this last week.
I'm tired.
Western Bay.
Oh.
Fucking hell, we went through this last exact thing where you're like, I don't get it. The guys at Tweeddale Servicing Contractors service the Western Bay of Plenty. Yeehaw!
They got lots of cowboys down there.
It's the West, it's the Wild West down there. Did you?
I didn't get that at all.
And you're like, oh, okay.
It's West. I've seen Unforgiven. I've seen the Dollars Trilogy.
Yeah, but just Western. Okay, anyway, so what is Western Bay Plenty? So it's servicing Pukehina, Te Puke, up the Waihi, up the Waas, up the Waihi Beach. And a little further can be negotiated. I'm sure if you're in Athenry, which is not really a big area, they'd get to you. The Tauranga. Did they say they do like the Mount Maunganui, Papamoa, all those beautiful areas? Yeah. If you're in those areas and you need some surfacing surfaced with these surfacing surfaces, get these surfaces and surfaces to service your surface.
But do they do? What kind of surfaces do they do?
They service your surface.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, with top draw painting from commercial to residential, that's your house or your business.
What about industrial?
Well, that's commercial.
Is it? Isn't commercial like business and industrial is like factory?
Well, it's still commercial. Like a factory is a commercial enterprise.
Can I just put an industrial building in a commercial zone though?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take your word for it. Well, maybe you can't.
You say stuff with such confidence. I do. But I don't know if you're right.
Well, there are industrial areas that have. Yeah, I don't know. Well, there are factories downtown. In the factory downtown. Well, there's peaches, isn't it?
I don't know.
What is peaches come beaches. From a can?
They were put there by a man. Yeah, Residents of the Earth, a bit of a one-hit wonder or a couple of hits.
They had a few hits. They had Lump, Peaches. What is another?
Maybe. How did Lump go?
Lump sat alone in a buggy.
That's right. I had that album.
Totally emotionless except for her heart.
There you go.
Mud flowed up into Lump's pajamas. She totally confused all the passing piranhas.
She's Lump. She's Lump.
She's in my head. Anyway, Tweedale. That musical break was brought to you by the good people at Tweedale. From commercial to residential, new build and renovations, interior or exterior, that's in or outside for you, those of you who don't know. People blow our IQs out there. Wallpaper removal and feature walls, they've got you covered.
That's a whole lot of services.
Yeah, they have a lot of surfacing services.
They also carry out those niggly plaster repairs.
Would they? So
how are you plastering?
Not so great.
Not so great?
Oh, no, I've done... In the toilet, I did a little bit of like plaster. It looks like shit. You've probably seen it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Done a little bit myself. I'm not particularly good at it. I'm
not great at it. Trying to sand it off at the end. Yeah. And just, if it's a small enough job, I'll do it. Yeah.
Hole in the wall kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, don't mind a bit of that. But yeah, the niggling ones. I'd rather get somebody else to do it.
I would much prefer these guys to do it.
I'd love Tweedale to do it for me.
Tweedale, top of the line.
They do joins that are flexing and cracking, peeling ceilings, wall board hole repairs. I struggle to say wall board. Wallboard. If it was whiteboard, you know, I'd be fucking all over that shit. Wallboard.
Yeah,
wallboard hole repairs, as well as cosmetic repairs to wood and masonry.
Masonry. You always like that one, too.
I love the bit of masonry.
Get your masonry.
Did you ever play the game Civilization? Sid Meier's Civilization?
Is that like World of Warcraft kind of thing?
You start off in like the Stone Age, just after the Stone Age, and you build a civilization.
Nah, not really.
One of the things you can research is masonry. It's one of the scientific discoveries. Before nuclear weapons, you can get masonry. Like, you can build city walls.
You played this when you were at school?
I played it when I was in primary school. Like
when you were primary school. Yeah. Okay. What I was about to say was inappropriate then. if you're playing that at secondary school, I'm sure you're a real pussy magnet. A real panty dropper. That's civilization trap.
They love my city walls. I'll get into your city walls.
Oh, God. You study masonry. Hello.
You can also have them water blast your exterior surfaces, such as your driveway, footpaths, deck, patio, soffits, and walls.
Fantastic.
You could use a bit of water blasting, to be fair.
I could actually. My soffits would actually...
I just mean you.
Well, fuck you too. Okay, for your free quote, get in touch with the team at Tweedale.
Don't fuck up the website.
Servicing contractors by going to their website, www.tscnz.com. That's tscnz.com. Let them know that you heard them about the good fucking bastards. Two cents gets distracted. That's us. It's a rugby podcast.
It's me and Tony.
And they'll sort you the heck out. Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the folks at Tweedale. They bought these beers for us.
Thank you for the thank you.
For 4 weeks running.
Have you ever bought so many non-alcoholic beers? Thank you very much.
I told you the lady when I bought these were like, you know, those are non-alcoholic, right? She looked at me and was like, that's a fella who needs alcohol.
Exactly.
And I was like, it's okay. It's for my friend. Yeah. And she's like, sure it is.
She looked at you and was like, the only way this pathetic soul can get through life is with the help of inebriation.
Exactly right.
He needs it.
But yeah, thank you to the folks at Tweedale for buying us the beers.
Yes, thank you.
Really if you it. Have a company that you would like to spread the word about.
We have had an unbroken streak of sponsors.
Yeah, but next week is currently vacant. It's going to be the final week of the Six Nations. So it's going to be a big one. It's going to be on my channel.
And then there's a few sort of lackluster weeks coming up after that.
Well, the URC and Champions Cup will be getting back into action. It'll begin to kind of playoff stages.
That's
so
right. That's what we do.
Still plenty of big rugby
and
to
then
come.
It's like the business end of the season.
And then it'll begin into Lions Tour. Whoa. So there's still plenty of tasty stuff up. So send us an email, twocentsrugby@outlook.com. I'll be the one you deal with, not Tony.
Yeah.
Tony is the editor.
Yeah, you're the business.
I am the business manager.
Business operations for TCG. I remember originally we had a first sponsor. You were like, do you kind of do commercial stuff? Do you want to liaise with these guys? I was like, no.
You left that with me.
You can do that.
That's good.
Yeah,
I think I'm doing all right. Well, I'm doing all right because we've had multiple sponsors. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, so that could be you.
It could be. Are you next?
Get in quick, because you never know.
Do you want?
Although I am yet to have a time where I had to tell someone, sorry, that spot is taken. We've had the perfect amount of sponsor. We've never had too much. We've never had not enough.
We've been the Goldilocks zone the
exactly
whole time.
Right, yeah.
This is brilliant. Fantastic. All right, Mark. Look, brilliant stuff.
We've talked some shit.
We've
had some beer.
Gave props to our wonderful sponsor.
There was a heck of a lot of rugby at the weekend.
Aye, Captain, there sure was.
And some of it was pretty good.
Yeah, some of it was fantastic rugby. Some of it was slightly disappointing. And a lot of it was edge of the seat stuff as well.
I feel like the Six Nations, if we can go there, has set up a phenomenal final round.
A real butt-puckering weekend of rugby.
Because in the final three games, you will have Ireland playing first, mm-hmm. who, if they win it, will go in the box seat.
Yeah.
And then you got England playing second, who if they win it, could then go
Ireland,
in the box
Italy.
Seat. Yeah, Ireland, Italy, and then England, Wales. So England could go first. And
please
then you
tell
got
me it's not the Monday morning game.
The final one is France, Scotland, which is 9 a.m. So that's the last game.
9 a.m. Monday morning.
Yeah, Sunday.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
That's perfect. Thank you, Six Nations, for giving us this treat.
Yeah, that's like right in. Talk about Goldilocks zones.
Exactly. The deciding match. Unless Italy win and Wales win, in which case France is just like, oh, we can just fucking show up.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, which I, no offense to Wales and Italy.
Probably not going to happen.
Maybe one of those upsets happened, but I doubt that both of them.
But the reason we are in this situation is because France went into Dublin and they managed to beat the Irish, and they beat them pretty handily.
Who puts 40 points on the Irish in Dublin?
It doesn't happen.
No, it certainly doesn't. That's a remarkable win. I thought the I thought the Irish had been really solid throughout this tournament. I mm-hmm. thought that they
shook off those kind of November jitters, right?
They didn't look great. Mm. And I thought against England in this one, they showed some frailties, but showed enough panache and skill to go, beat actually a very motivated, fired up English team.
Yeah.
So that was a really good result. And that English team, put away the French.
That's right.
So, we can't play rugby math.
So the fact that it's like you can't dismiss that game as just being, well, it was only England, because England's in the race for the title with one round to go, even if they were kind of squeaky bum in a couple of their results, but still.
We've been getting a bit of shit that we haven't talked about Ireland enough in some of the comments.
Oh, really?
We only talked about Ireland for 2 minutes or something like that.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. But I think our original hypothesis on where Ireland were heading at the beginning was there was a slight, not a massive dive, not Wales territory, but a slight decline in level of performance.
I remember you said that before the Six Nations started, and then after like three rounds, somebody commented like, where's the fucking guy in the hat talking about Ireland slump now?
Well.
And now it's a week later, and here he is!
Hi. How you doing? Well,
I wouldn't call that a slump. They just caught France, who were very motivated. Like, we thought France maybe had got that out of their system, like the England result out of the system against the Italians, but they still had a bit of that fire in the belly.
They play well with a chip on their shoulder, don't they?
Yes.
My God. They absorbed so much pressure early on.
That defensive shift was, it was close at halftime.
Yeah.
The Irish took the lead at the start of the second half. Sheehan with the maul try. It's like, finally, they put some of this possession to points.
Yeah. I mean, I thought one of the things, the Irish really should have got more points in that first 20. Like, a team that on their game being clinical could have got 21 points.
Not many teams hold Ireland out in that kind of zone for that long.
Yeah. It just felt like they were a little bit two-dimensional on attack without any real creativity. Cohesiveness maybe slightly off, because they haven't ever, they don't rely massively on outlandish plays, but they just good, solid rugby, quick rugby, quality ball, front foot ball, played it, you know, with high levels of skill and high pace, and and they find the space when they need it. But the French were just turning up and turning up. And then every time the French would get the ball, freaking Caelan Doris would be in there.
Yeah, he's like, yoink. Yeah. I was like, oh man, France aren't going to get any ball.
Okay, okay, you want to hear my loose forwards for the Lions?
Okay.
Morgan.
Okay.
Number 7. Caelan Doris.
At 8.
Number 8.
Yeah.
And yet to be decided on. Oh. And then Earl.
Okay.
That's a little tasty.
Yep.
Would you want to face those guys? That is a back three?
It's going to be interesting. You've got a powerhouse in there? It's going to be interesting whether they go with a tall guy at 6 or whether they go like, well, that's how a lot of sides are just playing the kind of like, Wales have been playing the double fetches with Faletau at number 8. England have been playing the double fetches with Earl and Curry.
Do you reckon they put Faletau in the Lions just to be like old head?
Nah, I reckon with Andy Farrell in charge, he goes largely Ireland contingent.
You reckon?
But there's still one round to go, so who knows? Mm. But a lot of the sides are liking Jack the Morgan's double fetches. If anybody from Wales is going to make it, he's got to be the guy. He's phenomenal. But we're not talking about Ireland.
Even when they talk about Ireland, they start talking about other players.
Do you think the Irish were a little bit disrupted by losing James Lowe in the warm-up? It meant Calvin Nash had to come in on one of the wings. And Ireland were putting a few kind of peppering kicks through at times for the French back line, but they didn't have that big cannon the boot big that boat. James Lowe's got.
Yeah, it's definitely
got.
Not going to help, but then to counter that, do you think the French were a little... They lost the best player the world's ever seen, maybe? In the second half.
Ever seen? You are inviting heat in the comments.
He's pretty fucking good, man.
He is pretty good.
He's pretty outrageous. He's an outrageous talent. You know what would be insane? The guy, Luco, came on.
He played really well.
He played awesome.
I put him on my team of the week.
He played phenomenally well. And imagine you're somebody as talented as, like, let's say an Aaron Smith, but you're behind.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Luco isn't talented. I haven't seen him play. But a guy who plays 130 tests for the All Blacks is like not touched. But imagine you just line your career up to be behind DuPont.
Yeah.
And then you're...
There's been a few guys like that throughout rugby history. Like we had a few good sevens come through the ranks. Like Marty Holler was a pretty good player behind Richard McCaw.
Was it Daniel Braid?
Was it Daniel, the other one? Yeah, there was Luke, one of the Braid. Luke Braid?
Luke Braid, Daniel Braid. Blonde dude.
Yeah, we had some good looses, and Richie was just like, nope, I'm going to keep playing that seven, thank you.
Yeah, Marty Holler, he was good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
There were other folks as well.
We're not talking about Ireland again.
Yeah, I was just about to say, and also during Dan Carter's era, obviously there was Stephen Donald, but then like someone like Nick Evans was really good.
Played a long career over in the UK.
Yeah, he could have played a lot more teams.
Antoine Dupont got injured.
Yes.
And it's been a bit of a hot button issue.
Yeah.
Because Fabien Galthié, after the match, said that he wanted it looked at and he wanted Porter, Byrne kind of looked at for the incident where they cleaned him out. Yeah. And then he wanted Nash looked at for the head-on-head against Barassi, who ended up going off with an HIA.
Bit of whinging, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
It's not great to see your coach go on like that. Like obviously it's unfortunate, and even if you suspect those things.
For context, in the build-up, the French were angry a couple of weeks ago about the fact that Intermac got banned, because remember, he had a head-on-head and banned like after the first round, and he wasn't able to serve one of the games of a ban for his clubs in one of the fallow weeks.
You always feel sorry for me with these Bears, because they've all got terrible head.
That's right. But then Gary Ringrose for Ireland... was able to use one of the Leinster games to... You are listening, right? You've heard everything I said?
And I was just focusing.
Okay. So no. Galthié was angry.
Yeah, Galthié was angry about multiple things, yeah?
About the Irish guy being able to use a Leinster game to serve one of his red card games
all
with
of
the
a
band.
Sudden I had flashbacks to school. You're like, Tony, you are...
But into Mac, I can tell. I can tell when you're just like zoning, distracted. That's the name of the podcast. I was a teacher as well, so I think I've got a pretty good knack for that. Yeah,
you can tell. Look how quickly the bloody head.
Yeah, it disappears right quick. Yeah, but yeah, he basically thought that Ireland would get in the rub of the green with
double
the
standard.
Yeah, he thought there was a double standard. Yeah, so I got it. He was already pretty fired up going into that, and then he just kind of unleashed.
In terms of the incident itself, it's all speculation. None of us are going to know what was in the mind and the intent of Byrne like and Potter. So it is pure speculation, but...
Oh, people will tell you they know.
Absolutely nobody knows for sure. There is a world where they thought, look, DuPont is a freak, he's playing agent, I have the ability just to weigh my body a little bit and I'll put him in a little bit of discomfort. But I think that's unlikely. I think they were clearing out a ruck like people clear out rucks constantly with aggression and vigor. And DuPont's leg was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it's caused an injury to a fantastic player, which is disappointing. And France's talisman. And I can understand their anger. But I almost, in Gaultier's, you know, when people go through breakups or they go through, you know, you have a fight with your missus and you say something when it's...
In the heat of the moment.
In the heat of the moment, you're like, oh, shitness. I think it's a bit of that, like...
Yeah.
I don't know if... Well, the French are a passionate people as well, but I don't think it's something that the coach should be speculating. He's not even speculating. He's saying it with complete
pretty
authority.
Pretty outright,
he's
saying it's reprehensible.
This is a dog act. These guys should be, you know...
It's always harder to, as well, when it's two guys. Like when you've got two bodies, meaning even if someone was in full control.
Bodzic.
Yeah, the Irish are still angry about that one.
Probably should be.
Yeah. It wasn't a great look.
It was awful. Yeah. They picked him up and dumped him on his head.
Yeah.
2 minutes into the series, the best player.
It wasn't great.
It's really sad because I really love Mialamu and Tano Umanga, but that was really
It wasn't a great look.
No, terrible. Anyway, we don't have to relitigate that right this second. Maybe for another day. What were we talking
about? But yeah, I mean, I remember it when Dan Carter was still playing. And sometimes he would kind of get treated with kid gloves. Like, I remember the South Africans once got, I think it was Bismarck Duplessis, got yellow carded for hitting him. And it, like, wasn't even anything, but he got carded. And then I remember another time in a Super
Rugby. He was injured in the tackle, but it was completely...
I think Corey Flynn, like, did something to him or something. And he was like, are we not allowed to tackle Dan Carter? So any time it's that, it was, like, kind of goat player.
It was bloody, what's his name? The runny bum. Kane's hooker, play heaps of tests. Dan Coles.
Okay.
Dan Coles like, are we not even allowed to hit him, touch him anymore? Yeah. Anyway, I don't often correct you, but.
There you go.
All right, carry on.
But yeah, so I think anytime it's the best player in the world, it just magnifies the issue 100 times.
Yes.
If that had been Mikhail Guiard, the lock, I don't know that we'd be getting the same outrage.
Yeah. If Luka comes on and plays poorly and the rest of the French team also play pretty poorly from that stage and Ireland trot in a victory, I think we're talking about it even more. I think there's more hoorah about it. But the fact that Luka came on, am I saying his name correctly?
Luka
came on and played outstandingly well.
Yeah.
It felt like the French didn't lose anything. No. If not, started playing better.
Really well.
Even though DuPont was playing great in the first half himself. And then they took their game to another level. Like it was one-way traffic in that second half until the very end. We got a couple of late consolation tries,
yeah.
But the France were in la la land. Like, they were just scoring.
But yeah,
great. Tries
I saw it as a rugby incident. Sad but true.
I agree. The French
often talk about the great Anglo conspiracy. Basically, that world rugby and all the English speaking countries are basically in cahoots, and then they just use any chance to screw the French over. I think a lot of countries have got kind of narratives like that.
Yeah.
South Africans have got the one about world rugby hating Rassie, which is probably partly true, but I don't know that they're always kind of out to get him. They do seem to be out to change some of the laws against them, but...
My late great dad used to think that North Harbour rugby, they always... Because our team was Marist. They always go against Marist because they hate the Catholics.
There you go.
And then everyone hated North Harbour because... they never get the rubber green against Big Brother Auckland.
Right.
And then the Auckland Blues would get shit on by everyone because everybody hates Auckland.
Yeah.
And then the All Blacks would get shit on because the rest of the world can't handle, like, little old New Zealand, like, kicking their asses.
Okay.
So he had, like...
Conspiracy theories for every level of rugby. Exactly. There you go.
Exactly. And, well, I wish... and I was there to say, Dad, you're full of shit.
I wish DuPont a speedy recovery. He's a freak of an athlete. So
is it ACL?
So those are usually 6 to 12 months or more.
What a... That's a bummer, eh?
We're certainly
not going to see him in New Zealand.
No.
Yeah.
If anyone can recover... Like, who was the Fijian guy who had the kind of...
Nandolo?
Was it Nandolo, yeah.
Yeah.
If anyone can do the miraculous recovery...
Go to Fiji and...
It'll be Antoine Dupont.
Do heaps of...
He's the kind of guy who'd be like...
Carver.
Like, 12-month recovery time? No.
Flexed it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so they lost Dupont, and they still played fucking well.
Hopefully he comes back and he's still got all the spark.
That's right. Well, Quintu Paia did his ACL in that incident. He's been on fucking fire in Super Rugby. But he's a bit younger.
Darcy Swain that did
That's
it.
Right. That was a grub hit.
That was a real grub hit.
That was real bad.
That was a dog act, that one.
Yeah. But man, they got tries to Boudéon, Louis Bielbier, right? With those fucking grubber kicks.
But like that one where...
He curved it inside, ran around Prendergast and still got there first.
I saw a thing on Reddit where they do like a line that Prendergast has to run and then the line that he has to, and he's like, guess who got there first?
Right.
And it's like, he has to run so much further.
Yeah, and he still gets there. So he's pretty comfortably.
So quick.
He's unbelievable.
He's amazing. And then Luco,
he almost got there.
He almost mucked it up together. That was great. The BLBRA, he is world class.
It's funny because he always ends, like, when you look at stats, he always ends the game with, like, most wingers chew through the run meters.
He doesn't have
He's that. Always got fuck all because he's never running with the ball. He's just like, I'm going to get it and just kick it past you.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do?
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's
some kid, that guy.
Yeah.
Two tries for him.
And he's young as shit as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really young.
Shit. So we've got a good few years of watching him.
Two tries for him. One through Boudéon, one through Jagu. Pino got the one from the intercept from Ramos.
Yeah.
I mean, it was looking for a while. Like, it could be even more until Aaron had those kind of late couple of consolation tries.
Yeah, Dublin was quiet, you know. No fields of Athenry in the second half.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
But yeah, like you say, I think it's ultimately built on that massive defensive shift in the first. And it's weird because usually the team that does all the tackling, by the end of the game, they're knackered.
They were just going from strength to... Well, they...
But I guess the 7-1 split maybe helped with that, even if they ended up having to play a forward in the back line when Barassi went off.
Well, they didn't even lose anything from that.
No.
It really seems as though that English loss lit a fire underneath them, mm-hmm. didn't it? So... They're very much in the driver's seat now because of points diff, don't they?
They are a point ahead of England.
Yeah.
With a game to play, and they got points difference like mad. Yeah.
So
they flogged Wales, they flogged Italy, and then they've beaten Ireland pretty comfortably. So
England need them to lose to Scotland. They'll be doing them a massive favour. Or
yeah, I think basically. I think that's
who are England playing again?
England are playing Wales away from home. Yeah.
And Wales are...
Although I forget if the Six Nations does the split on points difference or if it does it on head to head, because England beat France.
I think it's points difference.
Okay.
It?
If it's points difference, then it's France.
Want to tell you that, but I think it is.
Right. Like if England were to get a bonus point win and France were just to get a win, then they're going to finish on the same points.
Scotland, there's a world of Scotland getting an insane amount of points. They could win.
Scotland are on 11. So even if they get a bonus point win, that only puts them on 16. And Ireland's on 14, England's on 15. So
England and
Ireland would have to lose to Italy, and England would have to lose to Wales, and then Scotland would have to beat France with a bonus point and a massive points difference. So there's a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah.
Wow. That'd be incredible.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
That would be the most Scottish way to win the Six Nations ever.
Put 50 points on Ireland. No, on France.
I think it might even need to be more than that. But anyway, really? It might be. I'm not sure. I haven't checked the numbers.
Because the French got the Welsh at a really good time.
Yeah, before Gatland left.
Sorry, Gats.
But yeah.
They put 43 points on them, didn't they?
That's it.
So they put 43 points on them. They put 42 points on the Irish. How much did...
73 against Italy, and then they lost to England. Yeah.
They kind of deserve it this year, don't they?
You think so.
So in their hands...
You know, before this game, a few of the Irish fans told me, our guys who were retiring, apart from Brian O'Driscoll, they never get the fairy tale home win.
Yeah.
And they called it. Peter Omani, Kian Healy, and Conor Murray.
Sometimes... predict their demise too well. Like, you, I don't think there was a single Irish person feeling confident going into
that. A lot of the Irish fans were
like, we will lose.
In the comments of the preview vid, a lot of the Irish fans were like, I got a bad feeling about this.
Even the one where they're playing Wales, you know, playing Wales, the number one team in the world, they're playing the 12th ranked team. There were so many comments going, this is just the worst game for us. It's like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Just be calm. You're the favorite.
Well, I saw a couple of comments, like, even before this France game. Come on, guys. Like, fucking, you know, get behind the team. Be confident. None of this fucking, we're going to lose shit. And then, oh, well, maybe some of the...
I think they prefer being slight underdogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're overdogs now, boys. Well, hopefully
you are. Okay. No, that was a bonkers win, man.
So I also saw Wales versus... Do you want to go Wales-Scotland next?
Yeah, Wales-Scotland.
So Wales,
that was 35-29. We were talking a little bit about this before we started, but there's just this thing with Scotland where it's like, what's that meme with, like, is it Drake or someone where they're like,
oh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
win,
yeah,
by 25 points comfortably, and Scotland's just like, no. We need drama.
Yeah, give Wales an incredible chance at an amazing victory. Yeah. And also, if they got that amazing try that should have been a try for Toby Faltau, I don't give a fuck about your stupid hurdling rule. Because that was, he does that all, that's athleticism.
Super rugby
incredible.
Every day, that's a try.
It was a try in Super
try
Rugby.
Like that, Super Rugby this
don't
week.
Don't be so shit.
You can't hurdle players. I saw it and I was like, it's going to be chalked off.
And when you saw the one for Minor Pacifica, you were like, not a chance.
It's going to be fine. It's Super Rugby.
Yeah, because Super
Rugby is
awesome.
They just referee
awesome.
It differently.
Yeah.
The TMO is just like, well, he's hurdled him, but that was cool as shit, so we're gonna allow it.
Yeah. Got it on cool points.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that one was awesome. The Super Rugby one was like...
Sideways,
just freaking, like, nothing. So the idea is, like, you don't want to clank someone in the head.
Yeah. Or just, like, be jumping when you get hit on the legs and then fucking... Don't know, but anyway,
I thought that should definitely be. And then he bumps up the little guy. What's his name? The
Blair Murray. He's a Kiwi.
Westlake like boy, yeah. Is that
I think
right?
So that's why he's doing the hurdling. He's a super angry.
Yeah,
or whatever. He's
super like, angry. Oh. And then he bumps off the next guy, and then that was a try. That's a great try.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit what you say, World Rugby. That's an awesome try. Stop ruining rugby with rules.
Scotland were playing some nice rugby.
Yeah, they played...
When they play with oh my goodness, they're a fun team to
watch.
Yeah,
100%.
And Scotland, I think, play better when it's like, do we have a chance to win anything here? No. Okay, we're going to play fucking well.
Yeah, all the pressure's off. Although, they looked so dominant in that first half.
Yeah.
Wales could not get a single look in. Despite Jack Morgan trying to do everything he possibly could.
Winning turnovers, putting in a kick, like, just doing everything.
Come on, boys.
Yeah, exactly.
We need one win, yeah. Please.
Yeah.
He's playing world class, and he just can't, you know.
It's Michael Hooper style, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. He's just busting a gut. I think they're all, but the effort's been there the last couple of weeks. And they look good in the last 20, but
yep.
it was too little too late. From the...
It's always hard as well when a team's that far ahead. Like, how much of it's Wales and how much of it's Scotland? You know what I mean? It's
not over till it's over. Yeah. Comebacks happen in sport. You just got to keep playing.
Yeah.
I'm saying it like I've gone through.
when you were playing Test rugby.
When I was strapping on the boots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kinghorn bagged a couple. Had a wee vomit on the pitch as well.
Did he?
Yeah, he had a vomit.
I didn't see the vom.
He had a vomit.
Vom Trum.
It was weird because I saw it and I was like, what the fuck? I went back and rewound it, not just to see the vomit again, but I was like, what led up to that? It's like, catches
hit?
A high ball, doesn't get hit, and then play continues. Yeah. Then it goes into touch, and then he just tracks back, and then he just like goes onto all fours, and then just has a wee vom.
Okay, Jamie Richards, is he your...
Jamie Ritchie, he's been very good.
Is he your line six? Maybe he's your line six.
I don't reckon.
You don't reckon? Who is it for you?
They're going to go with the double fetches, I reckon they probably go Morgan and Curry.
Curry's been really good.
Curry's been in fucking good form.
Yeah, that's good. That's a fair point. And then Doris?
Doris at eight. But that just lacks a little bit of height. You need to pick big locks.
Is Doris...
Fatoje is in the second row. He's really good.
Have they got a big, ballsy...
I mean, you could play Tyke Byrne at six if you want.
Have you
the
got
kind
a,
of lock loose forward?
Somebody who can really get them on the front foot and like break tackles.
I mean, that's Doris.
Mm. Yeah, he
got a big old leg drive.
Yeah, he does. He's more of a workhorse than a power impact guy, though. Really,
you know, he gets through a lot of post contact meters. Yeah, I think, is his thing.
Yeah, okay. Then who comes off the bench?
Yeah, there's heaps of good Lucy's. It's going to be one of the most competitive areas, I think. Yeah.
You've met Earl would be maybe interesting.
Yeah, because Earl's been phenomenal as well. If you pick but those three, then you're leaving Earl out Earl.
Earl would be amazing for like a last 25 minutes, just freaking fizz him up and send him out.
Yeah, we need someone to celebrate a knock-on for the opposition.
God, I hope. I love man up. I hope. The Aussie team's been playing well in Super Rugby. Just for anyone, for those of you interested in what's coming with Lions, which I presume is most of Europe other than France and Italy, and you're worried that, oh, geez,
it's going to be a whitewash.
It's been shit. The Aussie teams in Super Rugby have been playing well, and they should be able to put a good team together, so don't count your chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely get your tickets. Come over for the tour. It's going to be competitive.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
By the way, that's not a guarantee. It's just a hope. I feel better about it this time.
Than the same time last year, for sure.
Imagine if they got the Bledisloe and a Lions series this
year.
They got the potential.
Finn Russell kicked a bit better from the tee. His first conversion was more or less the same kick that he had.
Doesn't he have outrageous kicking?
He's pretty good, usually.
Yeah, for the premiership, he's been kicking.
He's been pretty good.
Who does he play for?
Bath.
That's right.
You've been there.
I have been to Bath. I've been to the baths in Bath.
There you go. Roman baths.
Roman baths.
Any Romans there?
There might have been some Italians from Rome wandering about.
That could count.
They didn't make themselves known to me, though.
Okay.
There were a lot of Bathians.
Okay.
What do you call someone from Bath?
A Bathian?
Barthonian?
Don't know.
Bathalian?
Let us know in the comments.
If you're from Bath...
Barcelona.
What do you call yourself? I'm some prick from Bath.
All the Scottish tries came from their backs. Tom Jordan 2, Kinghorn 2, Graham 1. And
that's fine. That's rugby. That's how it should be.
Yeah, but I mean, the Welsh had a wee comeback.
A little almost comeback in there.
Made it spicy.
I wish that Wales team for the last 20 minutes played that 80 minutes.
Yeah.
That would have been nice. They started defending way better. They were making their one-on-one tackles.
Some of the, that one, like Duham put that fend in on, like, in his second test, Alice Mee, and then they had the numbers out wide. It was kind of like,
that's ugly.
That sucks.
It looks, and the commentators were saying, like, that's right. The one thing I wanted, so that commentator is my favorite.
You guys in the UK or Ireland probably don't get this commentator. We get the international commentators. So if you want to hear them, you need to go to the YouTube highlights. Yeah. Because that's the commentators we get. Different from ITV, BBC, or Virgin. I forget his name.
But he's a real Irishman, isn't he? Well, is he Irish?
I don't remember.
But he said, if I said to you, I'm going to show you my meat and two veg, what am I saying to you?
The old cock and balls.
Yeah, I'm telling you my cock and balls. At one stage, when Wales got one of their last tries, he said, Wales are really showing Ireland. No, Wales. What's the team of this? Wales are really showing their meat and two veg here at the end. It's like, what? They're showing their cock? What are you saying, dude? I want him for every single game of rugby I ever watch.
Get him over here for Super Rugby.
Yeah, get him into it. Oh, he's my favorite. He's so good. He's the best. He comes out with the weirdest stuff. And the other commentators are just sometimes like, what?
He's always paired with a woman.
That woman, she loves him.
She never really bats an eyelid to his stuff.
There's sometimes when she just goes, okay.
Yeah. Well, she's very professional.
Yeah. But no, he's great.
Yeah, the interesting thing for Wales, though, with that wee comeback, is they managed to get themselves 2 bonus points. They get themselves a losing bonus point and a 4-try bonus point, which means Wales are on 3. With no wins, and Italy are on 4.
With
one win.
Against Wales.
So if Wales were to somehow, they could get 2 bonus points in their game against England, score 4 tries and finish within 7. If Italy get flogged by Ireland, then Italy get the win, but the wooden spoon, and Wales can lose all their games and still not finish last.
That's insane. Which I think is kind of wrong. You should have negative bonus points for losing.
Automatic wooden spoon if you get whitewashed.
Yeah. I've got a question for you. At the 2023 World Cup, there were how many teams?
Pools of 5, 4 pools, so 20.
20 teams. So of those 20 teams, other than Wales, have any of those other 19 teams gone on to not post a victory since then?
I don't think so.
Because it's Wales haven't won since the World Cup, have they?
No.
Versus Australia was their last.
Was it that one? I think so.
Yeah, it was
that last. That was a good win as well.
Great win. Well done, guys. But I think you trade that for a few more. Win,
yeah.
So 19. It's what are they, 16 losses in a row? They need a bloody win now. Who have they got at the Northern Hemisphere tour? We don't know.
I can't remember at the moment.
Hopefully they can just pick something up. It's getting a little bit ridiculous now.
Schedule a game with like Uruguay. Monaco or something.
Just get the prince to come out. I've got some of the lads.
Come out. Just get a win. But they are playing some...
Chef Martin used to play hooker
better
for...
rugby. Which is pleasing to see.
Yeah.
Falatau's been on fire.
Yeah.
Blair Murray still looks dangerous. Ben Thomas looks better at 12 than he did at 10.
Oh, why was he playing 10?
I know. So it's Gatland. Dumb.
Gatland. They look like a better team right now. I thought Anscombe had some nice moments as well. Yep. That chip that kick through at the beginning to get for their first Blair try.
Murray, yeah, that was nice.
And that was like, they were like, oh, okay, they're 6 points behind. They were in it for a second. And then it was like,
Scotland were just like, no.
No, you're not. Yeah. They would just, they let the door off. Let the pressure off so easily.
Yeah.
They didn't mount anything that, even though the scoreboard looks tight-ish, it was never really tight.
Not really. Oh, if that denied try gets done, maybe, the pressure really goes on. And then this morning, England played Italy.
I only watched the highlights.
It was close at halftime.
The English,
and then England put them to the sword.
English were definitely the better team, but boy, did Italy score the better tries. You know, that first try for Kapo Otsu,
one was like a double kick try.
Love a double kick.
It was nice.
The old double kick,
Ross Vinson, the number eight, he had some wheels for a number eight.
Yeah, just split like, was it Capuzzo? Capuzzo
went past Jamie George and I think Ben Earl, yeah.
He went through.
He kind of shaped the kick, and then he was just like, no, I'm going to run.
And then he gave the ball, and he thought, oh, he'll get mowed down, but he just went.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. It was beautiful.
Lovely stuff. Really lovely try.
But, I mean, England played some fun rugby.
Yeah.
Every game England play in the Six Nations, they kick the shit out of the ball. They never get beaten in the kicking game in terms of the pure number of kicks, but this game changed that.
Yeah.
Italy kicked more ball than England did. England offloaded like a motherfucker.
Marcus Smith started off the bench, didn't he?
Yeah, but he came on really early because Ollie Lawrence got injured.
Okay. Well, the number hooker, what's his name? He scored
Jamie George. He got a nice try assist, I think, with some quick hands.
He's in the Lions for you?
Probably, yep.
And maybe not number one.
Don't think he starts.
But he's definitely on the travelling.
I think so. He travels.
Yeah. I think...
Tom Willis got the early try. Tom Curry got a try. He played bloody well. Won turnovers and stuff. Made a heap of tackles.
Sledge. What's his name? Sledgehorn or whatever?
Slightholm on the wing got a couple of tries. Yeah. Freeman got a try and also set up one.
Not too much to delve into because it was just a solid dominant victory.
I don't know. Like someone mentioned in the comments as well. And it's just like, no matter what's happening, no matter what form England are in, they could be playing shit.
Yeah.
And no matter what form Italy's in, they could be playing their best Six Nations ever. But every time they match up, apart from last year when it was close, England tend to just smash Italy.
Mm.
They've never beaten the English, the Italians. They just can't.
They can't do it.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Six Nations next week. It's all go.
So, first game, 3:15 in the morning, Italy against Ireland. Ireland on 14 points. If they get the win, at least puts them up to 18, probably 19 if they get a bonus point.
All things being equal, it should all come down to the final game.
Indeed. As long as the favourites in terms of Ireland and England get their away wins, France are in a position where they need to win the last one to claim the title at home against Scotland.
Baba booey.
I feel like Scotland...
It's exciting stuff, isn't
it? ...matches up better against France, who are a little bit looser than... Like, whenever Scotland end up playing Ireland or South Africa, who are quite capable of keeping it quite tight, then the Scottish backs, who are fucking phenomenal,
don't get that.
They look quiet.
They don't get the opportunity.
No, the games are always a bit of an arm wrestle, and the team in green tends to win.
They work within the existing systems to a really really high detail.
But Scotland seems to match up well against Italy. So
Same sort of France. Well, they should do better against the All Blacks then as well, because the All Blacks are going to give you a few opportunities.
Mm.
You know what? I've been bothering me about the game, I think, across all levels at the moment, and it's a great tactic to do, but I'm just so sick of watching. Like, the Blues just could not catch a high ball. In the
yeah.
High ball rugby. If you don't have blokes who can catch high balls, you're going to lose so many games.
France is a little bit vulnerable with that.
Mm.
Yeah, they threw a couple at the French in that Ireland game. Like, Nash won an early one, and there were some that were like 50-50s, kind of a bit scrappy.
You can have all the attacking flair talent in the world, but if you can't, you know,
retain, catch a high ball, you could be in trouble.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's an area to watch. Anyway.
That's the Six Nations.
That's the Six Nations, and this is 2 cents Gets Distracted, and this is 2 cents Distracted segueing into talking about Super Rugby,
which was continued to be super
duper.
But I don't know that it was as super as like the first three rounds.
It was still pretty.
It was still pretty super.
Pretty great, man.
The still Blues lost.
Sucks ass.
We were talking about the Aussie sides playing better. Well, the Brumbies hadn't won at Eden Park.
The effing Brumbies.
Since 2013, which is over a decade ago.
Yeah, it's 12 years ago.
It's all pre-COVID times.
It's well before COVID. Pre our children times. Oh, no, hold on.
I was still living in China.
I was...
married.
2013. Well, my father was still alive.
Holy hell.
Well, hold on. He died in March.
I don't know when the game was. Super Rugby could have started by then.
When he got really sick, he stopped watching rugby, actually.
No, so he wouldn't got him that
to
game.
Got him, because he used to get real riled up.
Riled up.
But he, yeah. Maybe, how sad would that be? The last game he ever watched was the Blues
losing to the Brumbies. Well, the Blues were leading that game 20 points to 10 at halftime.
Yeah, a couple of, a lovely try from Bowden Barrett. Oh, God, it would be nice if he could kick a freaking penalty.
Yeah, he kicked like shit.
He had the yips.
He definitely had the yips. Yeah. He was kicking like, he was striking it like genuinely shit.
Like,
like really badly.
Like you see an amateur like
kicking. Yeah, it's like,
what is going on?
Your goal kicker has been injured and they've had to call upon the halfback who never kicks to kick. And that's what Bodie looked like.
Just terrible strike of the ball. Like just spraying.
That 2018 game against the Box in Wellington, he was kicking it like that. Was it 2018? Yeah, 2018.
I just like, dude. And then I was like, kicked like three really yippy ones with zero confidence and zero rhythm. I was like, can we just give someone else the ball?
Yeah.
And then he took another one.
He broke his hand.
Yeah. What point did he break his hand?
I think at the end of the first half. So he didn't come out for the second. I had him as my captain in my fantasy team.
Ouch.
Well, he still scored pretty well.
I didn't change any of my fantasy stuff from the week before. So you're an idiot. I think I picked up overall 312 points.
It's probably not very many.
It's not. Sorry.
Bodie scored a try, so he scored all right in the old fantasy, but... Yeah, we didn't score any points in the second half, and that tends to not be the way to win games.
Yeah, it's good to score points in both halves.
We dropped shitloads of ball.
Yeah, our high ball play was really, really bad.
Yeah.
We look like a team that is coasting off the laurels of being the champion. Like, if we turn up, we'll win.
That's right, but that's not how it works.
Yeah, and I really think the standard of Super Rugby has improved across the board.
But the Blues are still at the same level as last year, maybe a bit lower.
Maybe a bit lower. And so they're expecting to come in with big balls and big nuts and big old...
big meat and two veg.
A bit of meat and two veg in everyone's faces, and everyone's going, it's a little bit...
Yeah, sorry, I'm on a diet.
Sorry, I don't
know. Ryan Lonergan with the late winner, the penalty.
Yeah.
Balls of steel.
Scrum time penalty. We brought on two late youngins to come in.
Yeah, they scrummed us to death in that second half.
And then we had those two young kids just come on right there who just did. Obviously, that didn't help too much. Yeah. No offense to those boys, but yeah.
Well, I think deserved win for the Brumbies. If you can keep us scoreless in the second half.
I watched it at the gym.
Okay.
I was on the... what does that look like I'm doing?
The meat and two veg machine.
That's on an exercise cycle.
Okay.
That's because I've got to do two exercises a day, and sometimes when I cheat, it's just like, I like put on, like, it's my only time to watch TV a lot of the time. So I watch rugby.
Put on the rugby.
You sit there peddling away. So I watched it there, and it was an exciting game to watch.
It was.
But,
it not was the result very we were
depressing
after.
Depressing at the end. I was like,
"Yep,
are you kidding me? This is absolute." With one from four,
We are playing dogs balls.
Yeah, and we were lucky to get that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're playing the Canes, who are playing equally as shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And when we got that
they're
win.
They're 1 from 4.
They're also 1 from 4.
We were winning against the Chiefs. We were winning against the Highlanders. And the
Brumbies.
We were winning against the Brumbies.
We lost them all.
Go to the Blues. Come on, Stern Vern. Send a freaking boot up those backsides, please.
The Chiefs suffered their first loss over in Fiji. Lautoka seems to be a bit of a fortress.
She was wet.
It was pissing down.
She was moist.
Yeah. There. The Chiefs got most of their tries, barring the ALB one, from basically a meter out.
Mm.
They were just like, it's fucking wet. It's just...
Moment of the game, though, is the misguided kick through.
Oh, yeah.
That flying fit. What's the man?
Logan Amasi.
Logan Manasi. Load up my nussy. Cuts them up right down the middle, puts another beautiful kick through. And as I was watching it with you, and I was like, you're never safe when you're playing those freak athletes.
Yep. Doesn't matter that's pissing down.
Like at any stage, if you give them half an opportunity,
boom,
they have the ability to hurt you. They also have the ability to fuck it up from anywhere, but they also have the ability to just, when things click, to be able to do the impossible and make it look as beautiful as rugby can look.
That's it.
Yeah.
The Chiefs were up 12-6 at halftime.
They get those screaming fans and it just
goes. That's right. Yeah, the Chiefs were put under the pump in the second half. So they were finished 28-24 and it was only really a late consolation try. They got the Chiefs the bonus. So the Drua were proper deserved winners.
Well done, Drua.
That's their first win, actually. They were winless up until that point. The Chiefs' first loss. Everyone's got a win now.
But there's quite a few teams with just one win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, and there's only one team that's won everything, which is...
The Waratahs. They've already had a bye, though.
They've already beaten how many wins they had last season.
This is true. They've got a much better squad. Yeah. Moana Pacific got their first win over this...
Please use their proper name.
Huh? Oh, yes. North Harbour.
No. North Moana.
Okay.
Or what is it? North Moana. Or no, North Pacifica or Moana Harbour. They play at North Harbour Stadium. It's a great stadium, and it looks like their home ground, doesn't it? It feels like their home ground. Get a much better crowd, much better
atmosphere.
I think
they had 6,000 or 7,000 fans there, which is not fantastic, but compared to what Moana used to get, it is good.
They put them all in that one stand.
And it's improving. And it seems like it's got a better atmosphere. Ticket prices are cheap. They're playing entertaining rugby. Kairan Tamu Folau is worth $14 to get in.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, guys.
Yeah.
He's so good. And like, you can bring the family. They've got the embankment.
Embankments, yeah. That's a grass embankment ticket. $14. $14.88.
Kids can roll down the bank and just run around and have fun the whole time.
Which is what I used to do when I used to sit there and watch the rugby the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to run around and do
roly-polies. Find some other kids to fucking play with.
Do some roly-polies.
Yeah.
Yeah. When was the time you said roly-poly?
But it was 40 points.
Were you one of those kids that didn't like? There's a bit of debate around a roly poly. So, are you on your side doing the flop, 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 or are you going over the top?
Doing Ford Rosnars on my side for sure.
You're a real.
I fractured my arm doing a Ford roll when I was in primary school.
Can I? One thing I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
You've got a slightly odd cadence to your arm. Yeah, I tried to give you some cadence tips when we were out there.
Yeah.
That you've got a real bounce. So when he runs, he like bounces up. So you're losing a lot of energy just going up and down. So you want to keep your core as still as possible.
There you go.
And just act like you're like trying to like balance a water bottle on your head, so you're not going
okay.
Doing all this, you're trying to stay still and then just get okay, good rhythm. This looks like good running. But one thing I noticed about your hands, you get a bit of a little limp wrist thing going on.
Downhill.
No, just in general. So you've got this one's going normal, and then this guy just goes like this.
That's weird. I don't notice
that. Sort of like you're flapping, you're sort of paddling a little bit of water.
I genuinely don't notice.
This thing behind you is sort of just flapping. I'm flapping around. Like, what's going on down there?
I don't know.
Just a little limp wristy thing going on. Anyway.
Probably just tired.
Who needs to have strength in my wrist? Sort of
exactly. Good. Save the energy.
But this one's good. This one's fine. Then this one just sort of just flips out. Little flipper.
I was just like, sounds like one of those like penguins that's staying at the zoo permanently because they're like a bit disabled because they got caught in a fishing net.
Like,
can't release little Flipper back into the wild because he's fucked.
He'd get eaten. Like how orcas have the dorsal fin that goes
over. Yeah, it's a bit floppy.
Maybe
a bit like that.
Maybe that's you running. You're like,
I don't know.
I'm not in my net. You're running.
I'm quick up the stairs though.
Oh, you're lightning up the stairs. Friggin'. There are a few stair spots on this on the run that we do. And like, I'm generally quicker than you.
Well, by miles.
But like, when you go upstairs, because this one time I like majorly, because you always like the drag behind me, and I'm like always just going, where is he? Hurry up! And then, but for a while I was like, you set the speed, and then you like feel a little bit of pressure not to like
go run. A little bit quicker.
Go a little bit quicker. But you were in front of me. You went up those stairs. You just because it was they're a bitch of a staircase, and you just flew up them like two at a time, and I'm just in there going, that asshole. absolutely caned me.
Long legs, limp wrist.
Here lies Mark Morgan.
Meat to veg.
What would it be? Long legs, limp wrist, meat to veg.
Exactly right. Lived a good life.
Exactly. Well done.
Watched too much rugby. We saw Miracle Faelungi score a hat trick against the Hurricanes.
Oh, and every headline after that. Miracle hat trick.
Exactly. Yeah, a miracle hat trick. Tom Wojfulau scored a try. That guy is just...
So good.
Unbelievable.
So tell them about that incredible try with the hurdle.
Yeah, he kind of goes for a sidestep, but does it while flinging his feet sort of to the side.
And it's just as beautiful as anything. It's more like the... I thought the one with Murray was sensational. But this,
Tom Wojfulau one's a bit better.
But this, the Murray one, I loved how it goes straight into a bump off. So it showed, and it was like, oh God. But the Tom
Wojfulau looks more agile.
He looks like he's just suspended in midair. Yeah. And he's just,
you may see sometimes like rabbits like running from fucking dogs or some shit.
So good. He's
unbelievable. He's almost inhuman how agile he is.
We can't get him to play for the All Blacks.
He's played for Tonga.
And he probably, was he born here? I bet he was born here.
Oh, he's a Kiwi for sure.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah. He's very good. He's young as well.
Oh, did he play for the Sevens? Does that count?
No, he's played for their 15s team.
No offense, Tonga. I'm sorry. You're a great... Why didn't someone just say, dude, you've got... He's a New Zealander. He was born in New Zealand, raised in New Zealand. And we can't pick him for the All Blacks. That sucks. Because he'd be potentially a bolter at the moment. Well, a runner.
Well, it's good for him to play for Tonga, I guess.
Yeah.
We got lots of good wingers.
But, like, if he wants to have, like,
I saw some people on social media saying, like, he'll end up in the NRL because you can only get pretty average pay in Super Rugby.
And you can't get massive pay through Tonga.
And, like, all the top All Blacks who stay in New Zealand, the reason they're making the big bucks is because they make it through their New Zealand rugby contract with the All Blacks.
They make a big contract that way, and they get a sweet sabbatical, and they get all the...
So that's not going to happen.
Sponsorship perks that come that's from being an All Black.
For Tonga, sadly.
It's
part of the incentive for playing for the ABs. It's financial.
So we just... And there's no way around that, is there? He's already made his bed.
Well, I mean, he could probably qualify for the All Blacks if he did the kind of stand down for like however many years it is. But
that's a long time. So see where
we get rid of wingers by the time they're like 25. By the time he's eligible, we'll be like, sorry, you're too old.
Yeah, you slow down a little bit.
Yeah,
you're not hurdling guys anymore.
Exactly. But it was a hell of a try.
Yeah,
that guy Pellegrini at 10, he's got a sweet boot on him.
He played. He was living his best life.
He's the business.
He looks much better. They look a much better side with him at 10 than Stephen Bashett. Or not Stephen
Jackson, the prop.
Yeah,
that's so bad to fat shame him. He's just a big unit of a 10.
Stephen Bashup.
Yeah, that's a different generation. Jackson Garden Bashup.
He was kicking so well. He's got a great boot on him. Even from difficult spots, he was getting them in great field position.
Exactly right.
And they lost when they, you know, they were in the game, and then they, I think they were down 2 points at halftime, something like that. Then they lose Artie at halftime. You think, oh God,
that's their talisman gone.
This could go down. And then they just show up. They defend like absolute beasts.
Although they looked vulnerable at the end. Yeah. The Canes in the final 10 minutes were cutting them to bits. It's almost like they'd run out of gas.
Yeah.
There was one bit that the Canes were on attack, but they knocked it on. I think if that wasn't knocked on, they might have gone on to sneak it.
That would have been an absolute tragedy.
Yeah.
But thank
for... But Moana holds on. They get their first win.
Artie was genuinely emotional at the end of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good game.
Great game. Cracker. And that's all the rugby I watched. You're going to have to tell me more.
Well, the Tars got up over the Force. I only saw part of that one because I went to bed early for the Six Nations. That boy, one was a little bit of a blowout, 34-10.
What's his name? I forgot his name now. What's...
Harry Potter. Max Jorgensen.
No. Oh, yeah. I saw him score a good
Joseph
try.
Joseph Swali.
Yeah, Swali. Still injured. Still injured. Okay.
Max Jorgensen got a couple.
How bad's that guy injury? Is it?
I'm not sure.
Do you know what's happening with Julian Savio, by the way?
Don't know. I heard he played golf a while back.
Yeah, that's the last time I saw him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if he's...
Don't know.
Anyway, he said he wasn't...
But that's a bit of a sucky one for the Force, because they've looked good. Yeah. But they got 34-10 is a bit of a hiding.
Yeah.
It's a good one for the Tars, but like I said, I didn't see the full game.
Yeah.
All right. You're yawning on our podcast. Sorry to keep you up. I was up at 4 a.m. What's your goddamn excuse?
It's
been a hard day.
I woke up very early.
How early is very early?
I woke up at 6:30.
Oh, boo. Diddums.
And then I worked all day. I went to the gym.
Oh, yeah.
And then I...
You did a 10K run.
Then I did like another 3 hours of work. And then I did a 10K run with you.
There you go.
Dragging your ass around to the gym.
Yeah, watching my limp wrist. The Crusaders also played the Reds. They beat them 43-19.
Oh, pretty handy.
So those last two games are kind of like
not
as edgy you see it as the other ones. Yeah, Reese got a couple. Will Jordan looked fucking amazing. The Reds had a heap of chances, but just made too many mistakes. So.
Reds have been looking okay this year, haven't they?
Yeah. There was one moment where David Harvili was like trying to block a kick.
Timber!
And the ball hit him in the head and he had to go off. I was like, oh.
Everyone loves a mulligan.
Yeah, it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
But yeah, Super Rugby was still pretty good. The Aussies are looking all right.
Yeah. Watch out, Lions. Here they come. Yeah. I'm going to be barracking for
the Aussies.
The Aussies. Love an underdog. And I really want them to get up and do well. Come on, Australia. Come on,
Aussie,
boy.
Aussie.
Oi. I can't bring myself to do that with any real conviction.
You're not Australian. It's not in your DNA.
It's certainly not, and I find it annoying and obnoxious.
Just like...
Lean into it?
Yeah, maybe.
I think they find it annoying. It was a big thing in the 2000 Olympics. Every time they used to win a bloody...
Was it Kathy Freeman, wasn't that Olympics? With the whitey suit?
Yeah, that was a hugely, hugely famous moment in Australian sport. The sport of us.
Who was the ice skater who...
that wasn't the...
I know, it's the Winter Olympics. I know it's different, but who was it? It's not Fosbury. That's the high jumper.
It's a classic Australian story.
Both races.
Amazing.
Quite amazing.
Incredible.
Speed skating.
That's why it pays to finish, not be quick.
Just take it easy.
Yeah, amazing way to win a... stay out of the trouble. Take the victory.
Exactly right. Just let them deal with it.
Here lies Mark Morgan. Stay out of the trouble. Take the victory.
Story of my life.
That's the way to do it. And you know what else is the way to do it? It's another fantastic podcast. Where can people listen to this fantastic podcast?
I'm sure they can find it on Spotify.
iHeartRadio.
Apple Podcasts.
Or wherever else you get your podcast, it's probably going to be there.
If you want to sponsor this magnificence... Oh, yeah.
We're absent of a sponsor for next week.
There's a slot.
I always think to myself, okay, we've got
like
to stop
this
trick. Like I
said, next week is a big week.
You want to be on that. And the rates are very reasonable.
I like to think we're pretty affordable.
Most people like, is that all? Is what we usually hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, fantastic, Mark.
Good
Brilliant.
To see you, champ.
Great running today, pal. Proud of you.
Loved it.
All right. See you later.